Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Hello and welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
And I'm Brian.
And we have the top stories of the week, all the news you can use. What's
let's not steal from other people.
That's how the cookie crumbles. it's been great. First story that caught my eye. We just get right into it nowadays. We don't waste time. Everybody's been talking about, you know, social shopping. This is like a big, big deal recently. Instagram piloted with 26 brands, you know, turning on enabling commerce on their Instagram app. So we're seeing more of that now. In fact, there was a story today on Digiday about Snapchat launching an in-app store for influencers. By the way, Snapchat's making a bit of a comeback. They're posting some quality earnings. They are selling advertising left and right. We might be seeing Snapchat actually come into its own, but they have an in-store app or an in-app store for Snap influencers to shop products. So that's kind of influencer commerce meets social commerce.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no, I think this is kind of cool. I wonder if Snapchat is actually making a comeback or if they're just getting really good at like selling stuff to people. what I'm getting at here is that I don't know anyone that uses Snapchat anymore, really. Like everybody uses Instagram. And yeah. So you can sell stuff to retailers. And to content creators and brands and make money that way. But unless there's an actual user base, this doesn't get as exciting to me. Now, I might just be out of the loop. Maybe Snap is doing quite well in terms of engagement, or maybe like Snap has its own, you know, set of users that are just really engaged, even if it's not growing its user platform or its user base. But, I mean, this is cool. I'm glad to see Snap doing better. I think that they still have something to offer. That's my view.
Let me give you a few numbers, okay?
All right.
Because remember, you know how Gary Vaynerchuk is always ranting about like quanting things and you know going where eyeballs are and getting the best ROI for dollars spent for you know people on a platform.
Yeah. He was talking about that when you interviewed him a couple weeks back.
People count Snapchat out because they have the same sense of Snapchat as you. We were super hot on Snap 3 years ago, you and I, because the glasses seemed like they were going to make a transition to a hardware company. It was right as they were going public. It seemed like a really great thing. Then they had a couple years in the toilet. There was an article on The Verge in April that talked about how they've grown their daily user base by 4 million people globally to 190 million daily active users. And they've doubled their stock price in the last 4 months. So they're on the way up. They've turned on they re-engineered some of the pain points around the way that the app was redesigned some time ago. And they have some, according to The Verge, 6% increase of people doing snaps daily within the first week of upgrading the app on Android. So I think it's an interesting, it might be a really interesting platform if you are trying to look for broad user engagement as a brand and maybe getting there while people still think Snap is dead, because that means that advertising costs for you and CAC would be super low.
Exactly. That's a really good point. I love that point. Like,
right.
Effectively, buy while you can, because
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. So you're gonna buy on the way back up.
190 million users worldwide. I wonder if there are a lot of, I wonder where the growth is at. Like, maybe it's not the US that's actually growing Snap. Maybe it's other countries. I would love to see that data. That it would be interesting.
90% engagement in 13 to 34 year old. So it's sort of that prime, prime consumer territory, high disposable income, high influencer. Yeah, customer engagement.
That's a good spot. That's a good spot to be.
Great spot to be. We're not saying anything that's never been said before. I think it's interesting because if they're piloting commerce inside the app, they are doing it reactively because Pinterest, which I can't believe I'm even saying, Pinterest did it first back in March, and then Instagram did it and made all the news. And, Pinterest now has Jeremy King, right?
Right.
So yeah. Pinterest has, someone at the helm who, understands how to create marketplace and commerce experiences in its app. So, and Instagram already has all the launch partners. We know that they can do it. We're talking about three major players who are poised to flip on social commerce. I think it's here. I think social commerce is here. And it makes me wonder how far away we are if by this time in 2020, we're talking about big players like Amazon having to find ways to compete through partnerships because they couldn't skate to the puck, right? They couldn't get here on their own because they are truly retail marketplace first for browse and buy rather than audience first and then flipping on shopping.
I hear a bit of a prediction there. I
think that Amazon is being surrounded on every side. I really see that between Walmart and this, between Walmart and Facebook. Oh, I was writing this great piece, which I don't know if it'll be out by the time this show lands, but I'm writing this piece right now that talks about Facebook Marketplace. Are you familiar with Facebook Marketplace at all?
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy watching what Facebook Marketplace is doing right now for local business. So, every bike shop and every auto dealer within 30 miles of me is putting all of their inventory on Facebook Marketplace. It's an incredible, it's a marketplace, but it's an incredible local shopping portal. And that is social commerce too.
It absolutely is. Yeah, no, it's a social marketplace as opposed to like a shopping driven one. It's like, oh, this is my local community. This is where I want to be. You can shop local in the Facebook marketplace.
Yeah, and shop local, go global and shop local. So social commerce, social commerce might be, which is not really in our themes for 2019. We had talked a lot in the beginning of the year about clienteling. This might be, a real differentiator. I'm really excited to see how this pans out.
And it kind of plays into clienteling to some degree. Like when you're interacting with your customers on Facebook, how much easier is it to treat them one-to-one? Like,
that's true. Yeah.
I think that there's definitely a connection there.
You actually might be right. Yeah, having that touch point, especially a digital touch point, you make a great point. There's another story that was out on Cheddar. It was a sponsored post by Rocket Mortgage, so I'm absolutely in no way inclined to believe it's real. But the other story was folks using Instagram as a real estate purchasing decision-making portal. So you have Instagram, you know, influencing real estate sales. Sounds like a thing that could happen. Rocket Mortgage seems to think so as well.
Sure. This could get competitive with like Zillow and Redfin even. Like if they introduced it, that would be insane.
Right? Can you imagine Instagram, you know, Instagram
homes.
Yeah. Instagram homes powered by Rocket Mortgage. That could definitely upend another area of those marketplace, you know, MLS type listing services. Super interesting there as well.
Actually, that's one thing we haven't talked about a lot on the show, but large purchases online. That's something I want to do. We should do a big show about that at some point. Like,
you know, we did talk for like half a second about luxury brands and luxury retail being an impulse purchase point when we had Ingrid on the show last.
Yeah.
So Ingrid Millman from Ann Inc., she had talked about, you know, that she called it deliciously naughty or deliciously like sinful, having this, you know, buying something that you weren't planning on making like a huge luxury purchase, but you can because it's online and you just decided to. And how easy it is to do that nowadays when you can fractionalize those payments too and split it up into three equal payments. Those things are becoming more and more real. I wonder, and then we talked ad nauseum about Volvo Cars doing a rental program, right? Real estate as an impulse purchase.
Yeah, real estate is an impulse purchase. Oh my gosh. That's nuts.
How long until
buying and selling within like 6 months of purchasing their home? That would be crazy.
I mean, how long until you can flip a switch where you pre-qualify someone for a mortgage based on social markers? You know, based on your social profile activity, like how long before Instagram, Facebook,
we're going to like nosedive territory.
I know, but how long before those marketplaces, or those social networks become a factor of creditworthiness?
I think that the only thing that I can say about that right now is that you can actually still manufacture quite a bit. Like you can portray a very specific lifestyle or like you can portray more on social than actually is, even if you're a verified user. Like,
yeah,
my thinking is then what they're going to find is people start to game that. And we're not at a place where you can game it. And so people will. So there's going to have to be ways to do more verification of social standing before something like that happens, I think.
Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-Commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. We lost the house. What happened? I don't know. Turns out I'm friends with a bunch of losers online. Really, really impacted me.
Yeah. The my contingency was like only 5 days instead of 2 weeks because.
We got a terrible really rate.
Yeah.
We got a terrible rate. Oh, why is that? Oh, I don't know. I follow Trump on Twitter. It's really embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
It's the struggle is real.
Yeah. You know what? I saw here. Okay, here's a story that I saw that was pretty interesting. IKEA is rolling out a new product. It's basically robot furniture. but here's the thing. We need to coin another phrase here, and I'm doing this on the fly, which is bad, but effectively it's like space constrained commerce.
And it's
been
happening
for a while. It's been happening for a while. Like
product design for
space. Totally. Right. Yeah. I mean, there's even like, actually a lot of furniture retailers have gotten smart and like you can shop by small space. Right. But I think there's a lot more going into this. This is like the pinnacle of that where, you know, you could like this piece of furniture gets put on tracks and those tracks, you can like push the furniture around your room. It can like spit a bed out from the bottom and you can then like zip it back in, or you can, you know, turn your desk into a closet. It's like this whole like, you know, programmable furniture that, I'm sure you can like create auto settings, and it's like, oh, company's coming over, push a button and the whole room rearranges itself for company. Pretty cool given, you know, the cost of real estate in urban spaces right now, making those smaller spaces more livable. This kind of goes in line also. I've seen a lot of chatter. I mean,
cost of real estate everywhere, actually.
Everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. Yeah, it's true. This kind of goes in line, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but there's been a lot more chatter about buying tiny homes on Amazon. And modular homes on Amazon. And like, there's these kits that are like $8,000. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's not included in them. So they're not quite as like turnkey as you might think, but they actually are like, you usually have to get a builder to come in and kind of finish some stuff up for you if you want like plumbing. But it's still, I think this is all in line like with a lot of the things we've been talking about the real estate market and how it's affecting commerce and what can be bought and sold online now. And so I think that it is an interesting marker, you know, having building products specific to, you know, the rising cost of real estate and the smaller spaces that we're forced to live in.
I have to believe, If I were to take the other approach at this of how retail square footage is shrinking as well, which by the way, there's a whole other story that we didn't talk about, which is one of the largest real estate transactions that ever have taken place, I think it was Blackstone did the real estate deal recently. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see this. What's going on with Blackstone?
There was a story. I'm going to buy time because I wasn't ready to talk about it.
It was a gigantic, 18 billion.
Yeah, with a B. $18 billion in one of the largest real estate deals in history to acquire warehouse space because they're betting big on e-commerce. What's interesting is that at the same time, e-commerce and that delivery model is being focused on creating, you know, stores of product that aren't necessarily sitting at the end consumer, like the Targets and Walmarts are sort of the old style retail of having lots of goods under one air conditioned space. I think the Bonobos model, the showroom purchasing, is probably more of what we see from those digitally native brands going forward, and we'll have a lot more of those. So I wonder, when you have constrained retail square footage space that are showrooms only, that don't carry a lot of stock in store, that customers walk out with products, as those showrooms are becoming more pervasive, do products like the OB product that is being launched by IKEA, does that make itself useful into those retail spaces to transform retail spaces for multi-purpose use? So you have this idea that if you go to, you know, like a pop-up shop, that it could easily and modularly change to be a luggage store one day and to be a clothing, you know, store the next. I wonder if that sort of modular retail model is something that would be really fitting for, you know, a marketplace for digitally native brands.
I think that's a really good point. I think it is happening. I got a chance to talk with like Brandbox when I was at Future Store Seattle, which I do want to talk about for a minute as well. But Brandbox is doing some really interesting things in that space, kind of in line with what you're talking about. And so I do think that is another trend that we should probably just have them on the show and like chat about that further.
Yeah. How was Future Store Seattle, by the way?
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm super happy that I got to go. And let me tell you, this is my biggest takeaway. Like, the biggest trend at that show was the focus on the retail store associate. There was an entire track of content just dedicated to that. And I think there were only three tracks in total. So, and several of the main stage talks were about that as well. So I think our prediction at the beginning of the year about what's going to happen with retail store associates, the fact that they're going to be better trained, better brand ambassadors, have more autonomy, and you know, and get paid better. Like this is coming. So you know, half of, I'd say about, this is a very like approximate number here, half of the booths in the innovation lab were focused on training enablement, clienteling, and efficiency for store associates. That is the focus in retail right now, and for good reason. Because you know, these retail associates are actually the front lines for your brand. And it's getting more and more competitive, and they need more autonomy, because they're the ones that are going to be active on social. They're the ones going to be developing these one-to-one relationships with customers. Like this is the future. The future of retail is empowering retail store associates to be able to do more and have better relationships and be true ambassadors for the brand.
I think that you're 100% right. I felt like Future Stores Miami was very much in line with that messaging as well. We heard from Kohl's, we heard from Samsung, we heard from Swarovski, we heard from even KFC, what they are doing to enable retail in-store associates to be more empowered to help customers make decisions, to use technology to close the gap, to have more digital in-store experiences, and to know more about the customer and their journey prior to them walking in the door. That is a huge trend. And I think every brand that has brick and mortar presence now is struggling with trying to find where to make investments in the customer experience next. The ones that will succeed in the next 3 to 5 years are the ones that double down on not technology-based experiences, but personal interaction and clienteling.
100%. 100%. Like the technology should empower that.
Right.
That's all it's there for. That was my opening remarks when I was MC at NRF Tech a few weeks back. Like I told a story, and actually I want to save the story because I want to talk about this a lot further. But the whole point of my story was that technology is all about that client relationship. That's what it's for. And when you lose sight of that and you start doing technology for technology's sake, or even technology for your brand's sake, then you lose track. You've lost track. You've lost your way. You're not doing what retailers need to do anymore.
Yeah. Right. Well said. So I'm thinking that there's a story unfolding this year around the enablement of clienteling, both online and offline. One thing that we'll see, so I'll be at IRCE in a couple weeks. Are you coming to IRCE?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll both be there. And, you know, I'm building a bunch of content myself outside of Future Commerce with a company called Zuvu, which is AI-powered, I would call it more like a decision engine, but it's this thing that I call like guided commerce. These guided commerce experiences where, you know, you've got an end user experience that can be chat-based, it can be like sort of decision tree and quiz-based. That arrive at understanding more about your customer and using that to power other parts of the customer experience, even post-engagement. So if I understand the data points of who a customer is, I can sort of understand what their intent is rather than trying to tell myself a story about what they may have intended to do based on what they looked at. So I think it's really intriguing, and that's something that we'll be talking about a lot more in the few weeks to come. I do have some content I'm building with them, with their CMO, that I'm still trying to find like what channel to put that into. It might wind up being an episode, like a bonus episode of Future Commerce, because certainly, you know, one technology partner, we're not partnered with them, and they're not a sponsor of the show. But I think that those types of experiences are so different. Like, they're what consumers expect from us nowadays in retail and in commerce, but they're not the experiences that we're delivering to them. And none of the major e-commerce platforms provide that experience out of box to them. So it's an interesting, what a time to be alive. If you are around at IRCE, I'd love to meet up and talk more about this talk shop. So drop me a line, Philip with two L's at futurecommerce.fm, or Brian with an I at futurecommerce.fm.
Yeah. And I think with that, that's the news of the day.
and there's news. A million other things.
A little more than news.
All the news that's fit to print. What are some other taglines we can steal?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Retail tech moves fast.
But Future Commerce is moving faster. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks for listening.